18th, and I believe it's at 5 p.m.
5 p.m., July 18th. Oh, are you singing? Did you sing?
Did
Zion's Joy sing?
Yeah. Sang.
Awesome.
Interviewed. Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. Amen. Hey, guys, stand this morning. We're going to talk about grace. Imagine that, man. We're going to talk about grace. It's like when you talk about Jesus, you talk about grace. You know, he is grace. Who is Jesus? Somebody says, he's grace. That's who Jesus is. And I just got some things I want to bring out this morning. I believe it's really going to bless you. So turn in your Bibles, first of all, to John 20, 30, 31. So John 20, 30, 31. And kind of a little different scripture to start, but, you know, religion is full of self-effort. Self-effort is what religion and the proponents of religion brings to your table. It is work. It is work, all right? Let's look at this. But these are written that you may what? Believe that Jesus is who? The Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Did you get verse 30 up there? Back up to verse 30. So, and we'll just go through. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He said he did so many things which we're not able to contain in this book. But he said the bottom line here is simply what? Believe. Turn to somebody and say, it's not that hard. It really is not that hard. Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and give somebody a high five this morning. Say, it's not that hard. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy, guys. Amen. Wow. Religion has messed people up. Religion messed me up. I was messed up, and some of you were really messed up. And I was really messed up as well. You know, I preached under the mixture of law and religion for years, really not knowing that I was doing so much damage, thinking I was setting people free. When I was not setting people free, I was really causing bondage to take place in their life. I was causing bondage, and I was stirring up sin. But the preaching of grace brings wholeness, healing, and freedom. God is a grace God. Amen. He is a grace God. So, you know, it's so simple, but so many times we have made it hard because religion wants to be based on performance, and we live in a performance-oriented society. I was at a dealership yesterday out in Iowa, and, you know, it was all about the numbers. How many we got sold? How many are out the door? What's the gross? You know, and all these things going on. How many? And they kept approaching me and asking me that. So we're so self-performance-based. But grace relies totally upon what Jesus did. Amen. Not on what we do, not on what we've done, but on what Christ has done and then through us. Amen. So we depend on Jesus for our salvation, and then it follows that we must depend on what comes from him. As Christians, we should rely on his grace and truth if we want to enter the rest that the Bible promises us. You see, God is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Amen. There's a religion out, well, there's several religions out there, but I can think of two right now that they promote the Sabbath, the Saturday, as being the rest. But really, Jesus is our rest. Every day is our rest. We're not to be stressing because we're too stressed, too blessed to be what? Stressed. Amen. So we're not to be stressing, but we are to be resting in him. Within our inner spirit, there is rest in him. The Ten Commandments Moses gave in the Old Testament focused on many requirements for the people that they had to fulfill those requirements in order to earn God's favor. Help me with my 3 hours of sleep, Lord. Y'all praying for me, right? So I am preaching it, man. Amen. So God is good to us. He is so good. But because of Christ, he earned the favor of God for us. We are in favor. We're not out of favor today. We are in favor. favor's on you. Favor's a part of you. Favor is who you are. Everywhere you go, there's favor. Expect it. Man, I expect it everywhere I go. And you know what? I receive it. Praise God. Not because of what I do, but because of what he's done. The imperfect law of Moses dictated that they work hard to keep the entire law in order to escape death, which meant that works replaced God's perfect plan of grace. Wow. God had a perfect plan. It was called grace. Amen. So accepting God's grace requires a willingness to abandon self-effort. Did you hear what I said? Accepting God's grace requires a willingness to abandon self-effort. Amen. And that's what he told his disciples. He said, only thing you guys have got to do is just believe. He said, if you just believe, you'll receive. But most people think that's too easy. You know, they got to get into something else. Oh, it's got to be more than that. No, it is really just believing and receiving. That's what faith is. It's just believing and receiving. To truly believe is to be totally dependent upon someone or something. The evidence, listen to me, the evidence, the greatest evidence of belief is rest. Wow. Somebody needs to write that down somewhere. The greatest evidence of faith, belief, is rest. You know, so many people, our minds get so stirred up, our emotions get so stirred up. Emotions can kill you and somebody else, by the way. Hello? That's why you need to let your emotions be ruled by the Word of God and not how you're feeling at the moment. Because there's been times when my emotions wanted to knock somebody out, but I had to go back and reframe and say, no, this is who I am in Jesus. Amen. Your emotions can just run wild with you. Your feelings of fear, of hate, of anger, of all these things. But you know what? We're not ruled by our emotions. We are ruled by the Word and the Spirit. And we are led not by our emotions. We are led by the Spirit of God. And those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are not troublemakers. We are peacemakers. Amen. We are here to promote the peace of the kingdom of God in our lives. Just turn to somebody right now and say, don't be afraid and don't sweat it. Some of you really been afraid. You've had a spirit of fear. You know, people, you know, so funny. You know, I fly and I'm a pilot. And, you know, I talk about it where I go because it's part of my passion, kind of like the Lord. I talk about him, but I talk about that where I go. And I hear so many people, oh, I'm so afraid to fly. I never go up in a small plane. You know what? Small plane's safer than a big plane. Small plane, the engine quit. If I got enough height, I'm going to put that down somewhere easy. Big plane quits, it goes. It's kind of hard. You know, what Sully did was an amazing feat of flying when he landed in the Hudson River, that jet that had a bird strike. Wow, amazing. There is a glide ratio on those, but it's not very far. You know, so, and when I'm up in my small plane, I've got a good glide ratio. If I'm up at 5,000 feet, I can glide for about 3 miles and find a place to land. I'm going to find me a place to land. Amen. But there's all these things. And so God didn't want you to be afraid. He didn't want you to have a spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given that to you. So you need to release that today and realize God's given you what? Love, power, and a sound mind. That's who you are. That's what you have. That's what you receive from the Lord. Don't take anything else. Good preaching, Pastor. I appreciate that. Amen. So to truly believe is the evidence that I've got rest in my life. If there's not rest in my life, then my belief system's off somewhere. And God didn't want your belief system to be off because it's through that belief that we receive everything that grace has provided. So I'm going to be at rest. You know, we labor to enter that rest. That's what the Bible says. So Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came by who? John 1:17. So we must depend on his grace if we want to live at peace. We've got to depend on his grace, not our effort, to live at peace. Because you know what? A lot of times we miss it, but he's never missed it. A lot of times we blow it, but he's never blown it. Amen. So we really need to, I don't know about you, but I need a lot of grace. Anybody else? Anybody else needs a lot of grace? We need a lot of grace working in our lives. Thank God he provided an abundance of grace. And he says, if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you're going to reign in life. Wow, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reign in life because I need the abundance of grace. Now, some of you may just need a drop. Maybe you're like, what was that, old Brill Cream? Anybody remember Brill Cream besides Pastor? Two of you, three of you. You're not that old. No, you're not that old, brother. What was the slogan of Brill Cream? A little dab of do ya. That's not when it comes to grace. I want the whole enchilada. Amen. I want the whole thing, man. Praise God. So the Ten Commandments were based all on self-effort. The law of Moses was actually, and this is what takes place so many times in churches, and this is why people are dying. They're dying physically, they're dying emotionally, because of the preaching and the mixture of law and grace. The law, do you know the law is the ministry of death? I preached the ministry of death for years. And boy, I could preach it too. How I could tell you. I could stomp, snort, run all over the place, tell them, oh, they're going to hell. Man, I was messed up, man. God still loved me, though. Thank God for grace. The people still love me. But the law is written in stone. The people could not look on Moses' face because the glory was departing. Wow. So what is of grace is no more of works. What is of grace is no more of works. But what is of works is no more grace. Romans 11:6. Look at this. Did you get that? What is of grace is no more. It is rest. It is total dependence upon him who loved us. It is resting in his sweet presence. Amen. Knowing that he loves you today. Knowing he's got your future already planned out. Praise God. That's what's so cool about God and God's grace. He says, I've got good plans for you. That's what Jeremiah says. He said, I've got good plans for you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you future and what? Hope. You may have gone through a divorce. You may have gone through different situations. I want to tell you, God's got nothing but good plan for you. That's who we serve. We serve a good, good Father today. Amen. Look at Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If we're putting effort into our righteousness, putting effort in trying to be a good Christian, putting effort into moving God, it's no longer grace. Of course, God's already moved. That's one thing we need to understand, right? So we spent many a night doing that too. God, please move. Oh, God, move in this situation. God, move. Oh, God, please. God's already moved. Only thing I do is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive what you've already done. Thank you, Lord. It's already done. It's already finished. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. That puts you at so much rest. Instead of trying to stress and struggle and just get by, amen, you just rest in him, Natalia, and say, thank you, Lord. It's already taken care of. Aren't you glad? Amen. So, but if it is of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer what? So, you know, the people answered Moses, and look at Exodus 19:8. The people answered Moses saying that we could do all the Lord had commanded. There was a lot of pride going on right there. You know what? And the Bible says God gives grace to who? The humble. What is the humble? Those that are simply trusting in what Jesus has done. Not trusting their own self-effort, but trusting in what Christ has already done. The people rose up and said, hey, we're going to take care of this, Moses. We can take care of those commandments. No problemo. We got this covered, Moses. Have you ever felt like that? God, I got this. You know, no, I've never felt like that. So this presumption, they were able to keep every part of the law. In reality, what was happening, if a person breaks even one commandment, they're guilty in all of it. If you break one, you're guilty in all. The law was given to prove that you couldn't keep it. The law was given to prove that you needed God. That's what the purpose of the law was, that you couldn't do it. then God sent Jesus to deliver us from having to live under the law. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Amen. And every time somebody preaches the law, sin is stirred up. Do you realize that? Every time somebody gets on the law and starts preaching the law, I don't advocate putting the Ten Commandments in schools or on concrete or anywhere. I advocate putting John 3:16-17. That's what I want to put out there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoa, that's what I want out there. How about you? That's a good one. So Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law, but Jesus came and fulfilled every bit of the law. He assured the people that not one single word shall be changed. Matthew 5:17-18, nothing's going to be changed. Jesus fulfilled it all, and he did because you couldn't. I couldn't. But Jesus did it. Amen. So Jesus was born under the law to redeem everyone living under the law. He did this so we could be adopted as children of God. We talked about this last week. Look at Galatians 4:4-5. You are no longer out there somewhere. You've been brought into the family of God. Because of what Jesus did, you're not just wandering out there somewhere, an orphan, but you have a heart of a son and a heart of a daughter. Then all the, where are we at? Go to Galatians 4:4-5. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born where? Under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoptions of son. We are sons and daughters of the Most High now. Amen. We can call him Abba, Daddy, Father. He is your daddy today. He loves you today. He provides for us today. And the law constantly reminds people of sin. Constant. Who wants to be reminded of that? You know what, folks? You don't have yesterday. You only have today. Your attitude today determines your tomorrow. And when you realize God's forgiven your yesterday, today, and tomorrow, wow, you should have a great attitude, because you are free people this morning. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is what? Sin. Look at this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? The strength of sin is the law, the condemnation of the law. And whenever the law is preached, you know what it does? It just strengthens sin more. It doesn't free people from sin. Only Jesus can free people from sin. Only the blood of Jesus can free people from sin. Sin has been eradicated, taken care of, done away with, nelch. Do people still sin? Yes, because they haven't received the revelation of what Christ has done for them. Oh, amen. And so many churches are preaching hard against sin. You know what it's doing? It's just stirring it up more and more. No one is justified by the deeds of the law. Look at Romans 3:20. No one is justified by the deeds of the law. We are never justified by our own self-effort. Why? Therefore, the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For the law is what? You would never, you know what? If there wasn't a speed limit, somebody say amen. I like going fast. Anybody like going fast? I love going fast, man. I was out in Wyoming, and it was 80. Speed limit's 80. How many of you go 82? I just want to know. I'm just, let's be honest with each other, when we went to that 55 stuff, it was like 55, stay alive. I said, man, that's going to kill me, because I want to go 65, amen, right now. But, really, if there wasn't, there's no limit. There is no limit with God. The speed limit's off. I mean, there is God's freedom in Christ is absolutely awesome. Well, Pastor, that kind of preaching is going to cause people to sin. It's going to give them a license to sin. No, they don't need that. They're doing well without a license. No license required. Amen. When you understand the true knowledge of God's grace, it teaches us to deny ungodliness, Titus says. Amen. That's what grace does. Grace doesn't cause you to want to go out and do something stupid. Grace says, hey, I am free in him, forgiven in him, living in him. Amen. Jesus was counted worthy. Look at Hebrews 3, 1 and 3. Hebrews 3, put up verse 1, then drop down to verse 3. Jesus is God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor in human form. That's who Jesus is. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 3. All right, let's go ahead. You can go ahead and do that. Put verse 2. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful to all of his house. For this one has been counted, what? Worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Wow. Jesus is greater than all others. He is greater than, he's greater than Muhammad. In fact, you can still go to Mecca and see where he's buried at, but you can go to Jerusalem, you won't find Jesus there. I've been there. I've been in the tomb, and I want to tell you, he is not there. Amen? Wow. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to everyone, and we are taught, I just quoted it, Titus, taught to deny ungodliness and lust and live righteously, where? In this present world. So grace provides everything we need to live a godly, successful life. Are y'all listening to me? So when we are under grace and under the law, sin shall not rule over us. You know why? Because sin's been eradicated. Amen. Under law, we face constant condemnation. Every year, they'd bring out the sacrifice, and they would remind them that they'd sinned all year. Who wants to be reminded of that? You know, that's what happens when you go to churches that preach the law. You're always reminded of, gosh, I really blew it yesterday or the day before or last month or last year. Who wants to be reminded of your failures? I want to be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice and what he did for me. That's what I want to be reminded of, how good he is and how much he forgave me and removed my sin from the east to the west. Never to be remembered anymore. That's what I want to be reminded of, how a good father I have, not one out there getting ready to bop me over the head. Boy, you did wrong, bop. You did wrong, bop. You know, we used to go to Chuck E. Cheese. When you have children, you always go to Chuck E. Cheese. Anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? And they got this little gopher game. Yeah, anybody, whack, what is it? Whack-a-mole. Anybody ever play that game? That's the way I used to think about how God was. Oh, I messed up, whack. I messed up, whack. You know, and the girls would love, they love Chuck E. Cheese. They probably still would love Chuck E. Cheese. So, you know, when we have grandkids, I know, you know, we'll be going to Chuck E. Cheese, you know. And I'm going to play whack-a-mole, and I kind of liked it. So. All right, y'all still with me this morning? I know I'm a little tired. That's okay. You know, God's good. I'm still standing up, so it's all good. So we should seek peace with everyone. We should seek peace with everyone. Hebrews 12, 14 through 16. I'm going to wind down here, but I just got to share a couple things here. We should seek peace with everyone. Look what the Bible says. Pursue wrath, anger, pursue hatred, pursue peace with some people. Just one you like. just those few. You know, us four no more. Everybody else I'm going to hate. No, all people. All people. All means all. Pursue it. Folks, you got to pursue it. Pursue it. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look at the next verse. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Fall short of the grace lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Wow. If we fall from God's grace, it's because we're putting a self-effort into our own righteousness. And we're living up to the law, trying to, instead of what God did. When we perform, listen to this, when we perform but do not receive what we want, we become bitter. When we perform, when I pray, and I'm praying real hard, and I'm performing really hard, and I'm jerking, and I'm carrying on, bless me, Lord, and I don't receive, I become bitter. And he said, that root of bitterness springing up, that's what he's talking about here, can defile many. Because we're bitter. We're bitter at God. God, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Because we're trying to perform and get him to move and get him to do something. He said, boy, I've done everything. You just rest and believe. What's wrong with you? Wake up. But we get in this performance mode, and so many times we're in that mode, and we don't even realize it. And we're just trying to get all these things taking place. But when we perform but do not receive what we want, we can become bitter about it. People who depend on the law have fallen from grace. That's what falling from grace is. When you depend on the law, on your own self-effort, more than what Jesus has done. You can't outdo Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, you can't outdo Jesus. You can't outdo Jesus. He's already done it. He's accomplished it. It's finished. Rest in him today. Amen. Man, throw your anxiety on him today. Don't get bitter. You know what? God's got you. Just believe. Praise God. It's going to turn to somebody and say, it's going to work out. That's a promise. It's going to be all right. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Turn to somebody and say, you are not losing your mind today. Turn to somebody and say, you are not going crazy today. Say, God's got you. God's got you. Some of you feel like I'm going crazy, but I'm telling you, you're not going crazy. God is taking care of it. The blood of Jesus is enough. Being declared justified by the law means we think we are righteous through our works. You know, remember I talked about the prodigal a few weeks ago? Love the prodigals. His older brother became angry and refused to celebrate with his brother. Remember that? Man, prodigal came home, wasted all of his living, all of his inheritance, came home. Father saw him on a distance. Father ran to him. Hey, isn't that a good daddy? You know, most people think of God that he'd get there and slay him as soon as he saw him. God ran to meet the prodigal. So no matter how messed up you think you are, God's running to you today to say, I love you. I care for you. I want to restore you. I want to heal your heart. I want to heal your mind. I want to give you hope and a future. You're my child today. Come home. Receive everything I have for you. Hey, I killed the fatted calf. I'm taking off the ring of authority, giving it to you. I'm putting sandals on your feet so you have stability in life now. I am, in fact, giving you the robe of righteousness no matter what you've done. Wow. But religious folks get all uppity. Well, that's exactly how the prodigal treated. His older brother became angry, refused to celebrate with him, despite the father's plea. The older son was bitter because he felt his hard work qualified him for favor. His younger brother received favor, although he didn't even work for it, and certainly didn't deserve it. And you know what the father said? Son, you know what I've had has been yours all along. But he was mad about it. Man, don't get mad about it. Get glad. Just let God heal your heart today. Let him just pour in the oil and the wine. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The wine is the healing balm. Amen. Oil and the wine. He wants to pour it in your life today. Praise God. Stand this morning. Amen. Wow, lift your hands up to him this morning. Amen. He is so good. He is our emotional healer today, our physical healer today. He loves you so much today. Amen. There's nothing hidden from him, and you know what? That's okay because he's forgiven you of everything. Praise God. That's how good he is today. You just receive his forgiveness, his healing this morning. You receive everything God has for you today. He is your lover, your friend. Praise God, he sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there, always on time. Amen. Only thing you do is just rest in His presence today. Praise God. Amen. Simon and Garfunkel wrote a song years ago, one of my favorite songs. I used to sing it in church a lot. It's called Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And I'd sing that as a Christian version, you know. And He lays me down. He's our bridge over troubled waters. And that's who He is today. He's your bridge. Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands up this morning. There's been such a sweet presence of the Lord here today. And you brought Him with you, and that's why. And those of you who are watching still out there, I speak peace to your life, peace to your heart, peace to your relationships today. Let grace just come into your life today. Amen. Let anxiety flow out this morning and just breathe in His love for you, His grace for you, His anointing for you is here. Praise God. You've got purpose today. Amen. Your people have purpose today. Father, I pray for this congregation this morning. I call them blessed. I call them healed. I call them walking in your favor today. God, I call them, Lord, emotionally stable. Lord, no fear, no anxiety in their mind, in their hearts today. Lord, I thank you for peace in families today, peace in our nation today, peace between brothers and sisters, peace between different skin colors today. God, we call forth peace. We call forth unity today. The thing the enemy hates the most is walking in unity, because when two agree is touching anything, he knows they can accomplish everything. And Lord, we agree this morning with your Son. We agree with the Word. We agree with the grace of God. We agree, Lord, with the forgiveness of the Lord today and the healing of God. You know, God is just healing your heart today. He is healing some raw emotions today. He is just loving on you this morning. Amen, as only He can. Praise God. He is that good. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness today. Hallelujah. We celebrate your grace this morning. Thank you for the revelation that you give us, God. Not out of works, but out of your word. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, give God some hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Turn to six people and say, it's a miracle our pastor didn't fall asleep while I was preaching this morning. Amen. Love you guys. You're so awesome. Fellowship with somebody this morning. Find somebody you may not know. Say hello to them. Tell them you're glad to see them today. Amen. Praise the Lord.